This morning we are in Matthew 1. And to get started on Matthew, the first thing we got to say is we got to give a little review as to what do we call Matthew? Matthew is one of the Gospels, right?
Tax collector.
Tax collector. And Matthew is one of the synoptic Gospels. You know what that means?
They're all alike, or they're
similar. Yeah.
Right, they're very similar. The three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are all similar. John said, you know, if you saw a car, and why have three different, why have four different Gospels? Well, it's kind of like saying you have a car wreck, you know, and all four are standing on different street corners. You're going to get four different views of what happened. Well, John saw it from the left, and Luke saw it from the right, and Mark saw it from a different thing. Well, John saw it from the helicopter up above, because John is up in a lofty kind of perch where he's doing his. His is not one of the synoptics. John is kind of off on his own. And I learned this a long time ago. Somebody said, you could only read one chapter of the Bible, or one book of the Bible, what would it be? Well, John would probably be it. John doesn't say virgin birth, doesn't get off on anything else. He basically says, Jesus is the Word, He's God, boom, let's go. And he takes off running just as fast as he can. I really like John. And John's probably going to be the last book of the Bible I teach in here, if I had to bet. Now that we've done Revelation, thanks, Mr. Wayne. But Matthew was, you're right, he's a tax collector, but he was also an apostle. Now, John was an apostle too. But what about Mark and Luke? They weren't apostles, but they were acquaintances. Now, Mark, we think, some theologians think that Mark was that little boy who was in the garden that ran away.
John Mark.
Mm-hmm. He was a follower of Peter, also an apostolic man. Luke was a doctor who wrote what is now the book of Luke to Theophilus, also known to have written the book of Acts, and to have been a close friend of Paul of Tarsus. And, of course, John was also a disciple. So that kind of gives us some basis. And Matthew was a tax collector. So if you want to, if we developed a group here, he would have been the secretary, probably. You know, Judas was the treasurer. But if anybody's going to write stuff down, he was learned in both Hebrew and Greek. He was very organized because he was a tax collector, so he had to keep meticulous records and those things. So he probably kept up with things better than some of the other ones had. And so that's the reason it's always the first book of the New Testament, but it's not the first one written. We think Mark was probably the first one written, because Mark has got things in it that the other two borrow from, that Luke and Matthew borrow from. So that gives us a little start to go with. Verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Well, that says a whole lot right there. He immediately comes off and starts giving you a genealogy. Why? Why does he want to establish what Jesus' genealogy is?
Establish the validity of
the
king. We know that the Messiah, according to the Old Testament, is going to be through the line of David. Mm-hmm. Okay. That being said, he's giving us the genealogy of Joseph.
Right.
Joseph is not blood kin to Jesus, because he didn't sire. The Holy Spirit sired Jesus. So this caused a little bit of a problem for me, but not a huge problem for me. So why establish Joseph's genealogy when Joseph is the adoptive father, not the bloodline father?
Well, you're still going to have some that's not going to believe in the virgin birth.
Right.
To the Jews of the time, this made a great sense.
But it set up the home, too. It's the house of Joseph, his home and his lineage, and what came along with him, probably.
Joseph was the legal father. So legalistically, Joseph was the legal father. And, you know, I struggled, before I actually got into the study, I struggled in my own mind, which is kind of fun to do because I'm very limited. But I struggled in my own mind throughout the week going, well, why would God want to put down this genealogy? And one of the things that came to my mind, which I hadn't read in the other ones, surprisingly, in all the other commentaries, was we know that the Messiah is supposed to come from Bethlehem and he was called back to the city of David. If Joseph hadn't been his father, then he wouldn't have been called back to Bethlehem. He wouldn't have been born. You know, there's all these little things that had to be put into place. And so God knows what he's doing. And even if he's not his biological father, he's his legal father.
I may be completely off base on this, but wasn't Mary Sinha also in the line of Abraham?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
And that
so he might be talking about Mary.
No, he's not. He's talking all about Joseph. This goes Luke goes through Mary's genealogy.
Okay,
here you go. Here's your sign. No, seriously, pass that around. I brought that so it shows the difference in Luke's genealogy and Joseph's genealogy. I'm going to talk to that here in just a second. But you can really get burdened down in the genealogies. And there was a lot of discussion that went on during the first century, third century, whatever, leading up to the genealogies. Paul even alludes to it. You know, he's like, don't fight over genealogies. He told in Titus, I've got it down here, it'll come to it. We should remember Paul's warning about striving over genealogies and not get into arguments about them in Timothy and also in Titus, three different places actually, twice in Timothy. He warns the people not to get so involved in this because we know that the Holy Spirit, when we talk about the virgin birth, the birth was pretty normal. The conception is what was miraculous. That God would have chosen a virgin to have a child. And I want to put in your mind, too, we think of, you know, now, oh, well, before you get married, you're 22, 25, you've had a career, you've gone to college, you've been all that. She would have been about 12, 13, 14. She would have been just right after puberty. And at that time, probably they had already made arrangements, the fathers of the two, of Joseph. And Joseph was probably 18 to 20, but Mary was probably somewhere around 12 to 14, that they had made an arrangement that they were going to get married. And so I'll get back to that in just a second.
Another thing about Luke, but I'll be real quick. You have to remember, too, that Christ is coming in the order of Melchizedek.
Right.
Which Melchizedek is the king line, and, of course, and Zadok is the priest line. And when we look in Luke, you'll find that there is some Levitical bloodline along with Mary. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what was his name? He went into Mary's aunt or sister. You know, her aunt was married to a Levitical priest.
Right.
Maybe he went in there and he was the one that predicted John.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yep.
Yeah. I think she had John. I forget.
She did. Elizabeth had John.
Elizabeth had John.
Well, let's go through these real quick. Verse 2. And the other difference is Luke's genealogy goes all the way back to Adam, and this one only goes back to Abraham. So Abraham was born Isaac, and to Isaac Jacob, and to Jacob Judah, and his brothers. And to Judah were born Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And to Perez was born Hezron, and to Hezron Ram, and to Ram was born Amminadab. Dab, and to Amminadab, Nashon, and to Nashon, it's actually Salmon, so there is an L in this one. Salmon, and to Salmon was born Boaz, and to by Rahab, and to Boaz was born Obed, by Ruth, and to Obed Jesse, and to Jesse was born David, the king, and to David was born Solomon, by her who had been the wife of Uriah. And to Solomon was born Rehoboam, and to Rehoboam, Abijah, thank you, and to Abijah, Asa, and to Asa was born Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat, Joram, and to Joram, Uzziah, and to Uzziah was born Jotham, and to Jotham, Ahaz, and to Ahaz, Hezekiah, and to Hezekiah was born Manasseh, and to Manasseh, Ammon, to Ammon, Josiah, and to Josiah was born Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon,
to Jeconiah was born Shethiel, and to Shethiel was Zerubbabel, and to Zerubbabel was born Abidu, and to Abidu Elikim, and to Elikim Azor, and to Azor was born Zadok, and to Zadok Akum, and to Akum Eliud, and to Eliud was born Eleazar, and to Eleazar Mahon, and to Mahon Jacob, and to Jacob was born Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So he doesn't name, you know, if you're in the Old Testament, it says begot, 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 right? Mm-hmm. Well, in mine it doesn't say begot, but in yours it doesn't say begot either. Read for me verse 16.
And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ.
Yeah, so he doesn't say Joseph begat Jesus. He switches it there and says, you know, by whom was born Jesus, you know, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. Therefore, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportations to Babylon to the time of Christ, 14 generations. That being said, there weren't 14 generations between all those. A lot of names were left out. If you go back to the Old Testament and really kind of come down through this, there were not 14 generations. Now, so why did Matthew do it this way? Why did he say there's 14 from Abraham to David, and there's 14 from David to the deportation, and there's 14 from the deportation to the time of Christ?
A completion.
It's very simple. They didn't read it like we read it. They memorized it. Now, I just read those. I want y'all to go home this week and memorize them all in order. Well, it would help if you know there's 14 in each one. That would help to begin with. But let me go to a place here. I've taken so many notes; it's always hard for me to find. One of the things I want to mention to you guys is normally in a genealogy you don't see the women mentioned. Now, the last woman mentioned is obviously Mary, because Mary is who gives Jesus his human form, okay? And the divine form is going to come from God. And one of the things that was really emphasized in most of the commentators is that Jesus came down to earth. Jesus is still 100% God. He didn't give up his godliness in order to come here. He didn't lose his godliness or his divinity to come here. So it's not a matter of subtraction, that he subtracted his godliness and became human, and so now he's human. It's that he added his humanity. He added those characteristics, the sadness, the hunger, the thirst, the things that a divine being would not have experienced. Jesus added those to his nature so that he could experience stress and anger and hurt and pain and all of those things, so that he knows how we feel fully. So he's 100% God and he's 100% human. Now, why in here do we have four different women mentioned? Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and the wife of Uriah. It's kind of strange that they would have mentioned. And first off, you know, when like Lisa has kind of gone back to England and they've done their genealogy, and they know that they are either coming from a castle. They're either the richest, they're like from the king line, or they're servants, and they're not sure which one they are. Okay, they know they came from this castle, but they're somewhere in that thing. But they don't. Well, you know, if you're going to put down a genealogy, most of the time you're going to say, yes, I go back to King Henry the 14th or whatever. You're going to follow that lineage back to, you know, some greatness. Well, Jesus is showing a lineage that, quite frankly, is not very stellar. Everybody in there is a sinner. Every single one of them sinned. Some of them were. Well, Abraham gives away his wife, Sarah, to, you know, oh, go ahead, have your way with her. I mean, on and on. David was an adulterer and murdered you, and a murderer, and, you know. But then look at the women that he points out. Some of them aren't even Jewish. They're not even Israelites. So you've got Tamar. Who was Tamar? I'm going to remind you this. Tamar sold herself as a prostitute to her father-in-law, Judah, to bring forth Perez and Zerah. And that's in Genesis 38. Rahab, she was a Gentile prostitute for whom God took extraordinary measures to save from both judgment and her lifestyle of prostitution. That's in Joshua. Ruth, she was from Moab, a Gentile, and her conversion out of and until her conversion out of the covenant of Israel. That's in Ruth. And her who had been the wife of Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba, who is mentioned by implication, was an adulteress, infamous for her sin with David. Matthew's peculiar way of referring to her, Uriah's wife, may be an attempt to focus on the fact that Uriah was not an Israelite, but a Hittite.
The true bloodline would have to be out of Mary.
I say, on the nitpick, when you compare that to what we just read, that whole last chunk is Mary's. If you look like 7, verse 7 through, because actually I got a maintenance guy named Asa. I had never seen the name Asa before. He's like, oh, it's biblical. I looked it up and I'm like, oh, it's Asa. But if you track that flowchart, this is all Mary's. And that's why I got a little confused.
Well, it's not. If Mary's goes through, not through Solomon, but through Nathan.
I don't know. Look at that chart. There's some names that are like mixed notch depending on how they're separated on that particular picture.
Yeah, it goes through Nathan, not Solomon.
It goes through Nathan, not through Solomon. Yeah. And one of the reasons I want to.
That's why it's so sticky.
Yeah, it's very sticky. And just like I say, John, well, there may have been more than one John. The one that I'm thinking of here was Zerubbabel and the one that I can't pronounce, Shethiel. They believe that those are two different people in both of the different genealogies, that those are not referring to the same people, that, you know, there was a Shethiel on this side and a Shethiel on this side and a Zerubbabel on this side and a Zerubbabel on this side. But it, right here's where it splits. If you're going Mary's side, you go with Nathan, not with Solomon. Well, in my mind, I would go, well, Solomon was the king. So if you're doing the kingly line, it would come down to the kingly, you see what I'm saying? But a lot of these, if the husband had died, this was another thing, if the husband had died, then the brother would take that wife, produce a child, and it would be his biological child, but his legal child, the dead father's legal child. You understand what I'm saying? And that makes it even more complicated, because when I started really going down into it, it really... And let me throw one more thing into you. Well, I want to talk about the ladies first. We're not going to get very far on this.
Do they keep track of? I'm sorry. Like in Hispanic, you know, how they have their name hyphenated on this, they keep track of their lineage on the mother and the father. Do they do that in Jewish times or Hebrew times?
Well, one of the things that somebody brought up was that a lot of this was erased. I mean, this is written down, obviously, but a lot of this was erased because in 70 AD the temple fell and Jerusalem fell, and so all these genealogical records fell. And in Jesus' time, Josiah had 12 different people that he referred to as Jesus, because Jesus is actually Joshua. Jesus is the Greek, and Joshua is. So Joshua is the one who freed the people from Jericho, who freed the people, carried them out of the wilderness. That was a very common, that was a John Smith kind of name. And so Jesus had a John Smith kind of name. Yet it has taken on huge significance, and we'll bring that up again next week. What do you want to say, Mr.?
On the 16th verse of Jacob, you get Joseph. That's totally different than Jacob and Joseph in Genesis.
Right. You're at the end. This is Joseph, the father of Jesus, the adopted father of Jesus. Jacob was his
dad, but it wasn't his Jacob.
No. It's 40 generations down. 42 generations, I think, is what they said. But and then I did 2,000 years, divided by 42, and it came up to be 47, so everybody lived to be 47 average. I mean, you would have no idea what all I do at home. I start running down rabbit holes. Okay, well, what does that make everybody? And that just makes things even more complicated. I'm going to finish up with the women. Men and women notorious for their evil character lie in the direct line of the descent. This was permitted that he might fully represent our fallen race. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. Matthew wanted to make it very clear that Joseph was not the father of Jesus. Rather, he was the husband of Mary. The new phraseology makes it clear that Matthew does not regard Jesus as Joseph's son physically. The genealogy is clearly intended to be that of Jesus' legal ancestry and not his physical. I want to throw in one other thing. This is for you guys who really want to go deep. And I'm talking to Philip here. Jeconiah's curse. I think you actually mentioned that to me at one point, and I had dutifully written it down.
Okay.
You had alluded to it. It's in Haggai 2. And let's see if I can get that real quick. I don't think I wrote it down. Yeah, it's right. It's like the last three books. Haggai, if I said correctly, but 2:23, and this guy had been so bad. And it's verse 23. It says, "On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant," declares the Lord, "and I will." Well, that's bringing it back. I need the one that's Jeremiah 36.
Oh, God.
I've got to start writing these things down. Jeremiah 36. You got Jeremiah 36? Read that for me. Wait a minute. Jeremiah 36, 30 and 31.
Okay. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not." Wow. Keep going, where is that?
I did 30. I'm looking at 31. Hold on. Let me see. Let me catch up with you. 36, and I told you what.
I read 30 and 31. There's one more.
Yeah, do one more.
"And then Jeremiah, and then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch, the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jeroboam, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words."
Yeah, the important part here is in verse 30, "Therefore says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have no one to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out." Well, if he can have no one to sit on the throne, well, we just stopped the kingly lineage of the king of David. So that's the curse of Jeconiah. So how do you rectify that? It can get very complicated.
Is it?
Jeconiah was the one who, when Nebuchadnezzar and all that was going on, he was taken off and killed in Babylon. And so, actually, that was fulfilled, that none of his children sat on the throne of Israel.
Okay.
However, over to Haggai, and then I'm going to let you guys go because we can sit here all day. Look at Haggai 2:23. And he talks about it being a signet ring, and he will take the signet ring off and throw it away. And so God is making a point here. And then Haggai 23 says, "On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, declares the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring. For I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts." And that's breaking the curse of Jeconiah. So you can take that as none of your literal children sat on the throne, but the lineage continued on, and the favor was brought back to the line of David in Haggai there. So we'll get back to this next week. I apologize for being so slow, but it's kind of weighty, and we'll get back to more of it next week. Thank you all.
Thank you.